Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
What is it? Oh, my God. It's not even here. Oh, look me. World Cup. Where are you? Oh, no, you're here. What are you?
You all right?
You all right there, mate?
Yeah, just been watching, actually, the big one, the biggie, Japan-Russia. But fair play the Japanese, you know, it's like they're so enthusiastic, aren't they? They even had 15,000 people turn out to watch Wales train. That doesn't happen over here in Wales. They love it. They even sang in Welsh and all that, so it's amazing.
But yeah, it'd be a bit weird to have 15,000 Japanese people in Wales watching the rugby.
I just think try and do, right... A Japanese accent singing the Welsh national anthem. That's unbelievable. But you got it. They really get into it. And I was gutted because Russia started, you know, started up. They scored the first try. And they were sort of leading towards the first half. And then Japan come back. But I'm quite looking forward to this. Looking for the World Cup. By the way, guys, where have you been? Have you any idea how many people have bothered me and texted me saying, four or five people have said, where's the Weekend Podcast? I said, well, blame the boys. They got off a romantic break. Did you come back with a ring on your finger, Steve and Pete?
No rings.
Where did you go then?
Southwest France.
Oh, not Gay Paris. Not Gay Paris.
No. And it wasn't just me and Steve, just to clarify.
A load of other boys.
Yeah.
What did you do? It wasn't a skiing, was it?
No, that's right. It wasn't skiing. It's summertime.
We're going on a not skiing holiday. Yes, that's lovely. Right. Fantastic. All right, then. Well, do you know what? I tell you what, it's been hard work, isn't it? I'm up to about 45% cash.
Yeah.
That's the level of the market. I don't like it. I just think uncertainty. It could go lower. And I'm just thinking, at the moment, what I just thought in my head, right, is next week. That's one thing, you know, when there's things you don't know about and you have doubt, get out. That's my thoughts on it. I mean, I've only made, for the first time in a long time since I've been doing videos. Did you know I do videos?
You mention it but every now and then, yeah.
For the right price, I'll do a video for you.
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, but on YouTube and last week, first time I've been doing the last quarter, I'd actually gone in the minus 8% for the quarter. My return was my portfolio, and it's back up this week. Largely thanks to IUKD Dividend Fund, because I chucked a big chunk in there, a biggie chunk, just to get the div, and it's rallying, didn't it? It rallied about 10%, plus the div, which we're getting paid on Tuesday, which is nice, and I just ratcheted down and sold a bit of that now, back in cash, but I will be going back into that again before December. I've just noticed something on that, right, boys? There's a little thing here, and pretty much, there's a good chance, if there's a bit of a sell-off beforehand, there's a good chance about 2 weeks before it starts rallying towards the divvy. So that's the time to start piling in. Really is. And then piling in. And so you'll get a bit of capital upside and the divvy as well before the X date. And it didn't really come back on the X date, did it? You know, X dividend date, for anyone who doesn't know that, Steve will tell you right now. Steve?
So the price will probably go down as they pay people out.
It's like that, yeah. It's called excluding dividend. So that's the price of the shares, excluding dividend. So imagine if a company pays, like, you know, £1 million in dividends a year. Obviously, that has to come off the balance sheet. They have to physically pay that money off. So that company will be worth £1 million less. So when you go, you have to be a shareholder on the ex-dividend date, and the record date is after that. So they remove that sort of money. It comes off the balance sheet. So let's say you pay, let's say you're paying, 5 pence per share, whatever. It'll drop by about five pence. You can't just duck in there, nick the divvy and then sneak back out. Oh, I got the divvy. But it didn't really drop on the divvy. It dropped a little bit, but not a lot. Yeah. So it runs from...
That's what I would say. It is more that it stops people, exactly that, ducking in, picking up the dividend and then selling. But
it's essentially the company excluding the dividend value, basically, the payment. So obviously, the company is worth less because the dividend has been paid out. But because it rallied strongly, that very rarely happens. It did drop a little bit, but you could have gone in a week before, picked up the divvy and done quite well. It was fine.
It was good timing in this occasion.
Yes, it was, absolutely. Yeah, but everything, I just feel, Boris Johnson's in court, right? Or he sort of is, for a prorogue. What do they say, proroguing? What are they saving now? Would they make this every now and again? You get these stupid words come up to you from Old English in politics, and it's an excellent example of how opaque politics is, isn't it? These kind of words are thrown up as an oldie worldy, confuse you in some way, and it's just an absolute load of rubbish. All of it is, all of it. I've just blocked every. I've muted all words Brexit, No Deal from Twitter. Just doing my brain in. It's everywhere. I can't get from it.
Yes.
And part of me wants to get off the planet. I just want to get off. So stop it. I want to get off the Brexit roundabout.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not helping anyone, is it? Which is what I said the day after the referendum. But there we are.
Even though you voted for the wrong side,
No. Anyway, what I would say, the markets just seem to be in keeping with the world at the moment. They're just a bit bonkers, aren't they? I just can't see any rhyme or reason. A lot of things seem to be a lot of volatility up and down in certain stocks for no particular reason. I don't know. Seems a very odd time. Very hard market. I wouldn't be able to do this full time, as I said before, because I'd just be, I don't know what you'd do, because...
You see people over trading it and costing you money, and my saviour was the divvy fund, and I talked about that on my last videos. So I did three videos just recently, just for people, basically long tail videos, little evergreen content. People who want to get started investing, three easy sort of steps. Why invest in the stock market? Because basically it's the best return out there compared to everything else. If you've got money in the bank, you're actually losing money due to inflation over time. So stock market is the best place. How to get involved? Set up an account, stocks and shares ISA, because it's tax-free. Every bit of money you earn in there is tax-free. And thirdly, get involved in funds. They're quite easy. Steve, who is doing that? That guttural sound. It's almost like you're the mic on your throat where a liquid is going down your throat. Who's doing that? Stephen? Why do you get thirsty when you come on the podcast? You're not doing any talking, Steve. Why do you seem to get very thirsty when you come on the podcast?
Well, it's a break from work, isn't it? It's just my coffee break.
Oh, it's a podcast. I'm going to drink loads.
It's an opportunity to drink it.
To really drink the crazy, to fill up my 6-litre coffee cup and start drinking. I always remember, Naked Gun? I know which Naked Gun it was. Where he had to do, it was like he was doing a public speech in his old grand sort of town hall building sort of thing, massive building, or library. And he was sitting there at the desk with a couple of other people there, and there was obviously an audience there. And it was a big jug of water, and he kept drinking lots of water. But when it wasn't his speech, other people were talking. So he got up and made a little speech, and he still had a microphone, a tie clip mic on. He went to the toilet, and he had the longest wee in history. And someone was talking, and all the audience was listening to him weeing. Just went on forever. That was good. That's good comedy writing, isn't it? Think of that. That's quite good.
Anyway,
let's talk to stocks and shares.
One stock that digress into big stocks, but Lloyds Bank, I know neither of you hold, but I continue to hold. I just don't understand what's gone on there, because it's been down to 49p, and the results weren't that great, and they had to put a stack load of cash, even more cash for PPI because of the deadline, and even more claims than they'd banked for. And then there was, what else was there? There was the share buyback scheme they put a halt to and all that stuff. And so all that's negativity. And it's rallied in the last 2 weeks, like up by 10%.
Yeah, I was going to jump in the law. I was going to jump in the law. The banks have been banks are basically a play, right, on the overall economy, you know. And global growth is slowing down. Let's be honest. If you right now, gold hasn't really come back that much, even though it's, the RSI has gone down. Gold hasn't really come. We are going to see a recession next year, towards the end of next year. Now is the time of weakness to acquire gold, and I believe Bitcoin as well, which is digital gold, and you can only get that, I think, in AIM via, I think, Argo Mining, pretty much. But Lloyds, I was looking at that, and they said they are a play on the economy. They've been hammered down because of PPI. And they did say, didn't they? They just said that the end of PPI was coming. How long has that been going on for? But is it 29 billion or 25 billion they paid at the banks? It's ridiculous. But they did say we've had a flourish of late minute claims on PPI, so they cancelled the buyback and all that stuff. But they put money aside now. But now, that's it now, though. So in my mind was this. I thought, okay, I was going to jump into Lloyds or Barclays. I thought, okay, so that's the biggest hurdle that's been holding them back, that's dragged on their earnings for the last few years, right? Once they're clear and they're going to stop the buyback and all that stuff, once they're clear of that now, it's fine. It's open running, isn't it? You know, the profits are not going to be huge, so, but I think...
And the dividend, you know, is fairly healthy. And I suppose that's it. It's just a reaction to kind of a calm after the storm. And it's they're just people are filling their boots now. Yeah, okay, that's great. I'm a holder. I should have topped up at 49p, obviously. But okay.
And look at that. Look at the RSI on that. The RSI, they literally went down to... It went down, God, 11 it went down to. I'm scrolling through, right?
Yeah, for a massive stop. Bizarre, isn't it?
And I can't see, let me just scroll back, but even doing the crash, it must have gone down that below. Must have. That's even 2009. Wow, do you know what? Last time it's gone down that low, it didn't even go down that low in the financial crash. Yeah. That's unbelievable. The RSI went down 11.
The other thing is, and I said, I remember saying this in December, is that it got down to 49p or roughly that point there. And then it goes back up to 65 or 70p, and then it will come back down to 49p. And it will it looks like in the past 2 years, anyway, it's kind of started to trade in this kind of really cyclical pattern. But I don't know, very bizarre. I sort of think, 49p. But then it got down to 49p this time. And because of all the negativity, I was like, well, not that confident to top up, but
that's the thing, isn't it? That's always the way.
It is, yeah.
And that's why the buy low, sell high thing is not as easy as people think. Because when everyone's selling, you think, I don't want to buy it. Everyone's selling.
Yeah,
that's what you should be buying. When everyone's buying it, you should be selling. And that's who's the famous guy who said, "How do you get so rich?" It's one of the guys. What's his name? One of the early guys in American stock markets, the Hoover guy, I think it was, but he made millions in stock market. And he said, "How did you make so much money?" And he said, "Basically, I sell early. You know, so he always buys early, sells early. That's it."
Yeah.
So, okay, there's more upside probably, but I'll get out before the masses get out. And when I get a healthy profit, I get out. I sell, basically, it's the other way around. Sell when everyone's buying, buy when everyone's selling. Yeah. And that's it. Simple as that.
Which is Warren Buffett. Thing,
exactly. So,
so simple, and yet, you know,
I don't think Warren would like to be called so simple.
No.
Yeah. Right, in that sort of last video I did, I said basically, right, there's two ways to earn money in the stock market. One is capital appreciation. You know, you buy low, sell high. That's quite hard, though. But you do that. The other one is dividends and dividend reinvestment. Now, over the long term, it's so powerful, dividend reinvestment, and I made a comparison. And what I do is, anyway, basically, I put $1,000 in, and you earn like 10% a year, you take the 10% out each time you get a dividend. Say it's 10% dividend, take the money out and spend it on sweets and handbags. Then at the end of the year, you get something like, I don't know what the raise was, you'd get $2,000 to $3,000 or something. If you reinvest the dividends, it's $7,500, so almost double. More than double what you would have got, you know. So dividend reinvestments, that's why if you're going for funds, I did mention in the last video, you probably need to go for a dividend one, dividend heavy one, which you reinvest, and then a capital growth one. At the moment, I do have a life strategy fund, which is a Vanguard thing, which pretty much isn't hard any dividend in there, but it's not an aggressive growth fund. And a NASDAQ or something like that is good for that. But at the moment, I'm not convinced, right? Yesterday, the S&P 500, it was 0.5% away from its all-time high. Now, is that nuts? Do you think that's a bit odd? When we're not actually, you know, we hear all this bad news around the world about trade and global growth slowing down and Brexit and all this, and yet we're 0.5% off the all-time high. And I'm looking at the chart on the S&P 500, which is probably the widest index in America, and there's what's called relative strength divergence, and that means that the momentum's going down, even the price is trying to make a new high. We're not far away, it can take months, but we're not far away, I think, from a big couple of sell-offs and then a rally and a bigger... Because people don't know about it. People say, why don't you sell one in a bear market? But you don't know, because the rallies sometimes from the bounce backs can be, you know, better than in bull markets. So I just genuinely think I'm a bit bearish, and that's why I'm in cash. And I just think you've got plenty of time. I think time's on our side. There's lots of good companies out there. They're not rallying very much. It's hard work. They're all grinding lower. I think we have more time to really be picky. And I'm really being... And some of my favourite companies, I've just withdrawn or de-risked a little bit or sold it a little down. And I think, do you know what? If there's a sell-off, I'll just take more advantage. Like, Bidstack. How much has Bidstack sold off?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think this is going to be, you know, a cracking opportunity. And I did a video about that. You know, I did a video about future hope versus current financial reality. That's the trouble. You know, Bidstack, huge potential. But at the moment, it's valued, what, $65 million? And its revenue is going to come out. And of course, they haven't started really generating revenue yet. It's going to be the second half now they're on the programmatic. Because they've only just gone onto them after the period ends. So the half one results will be up to the 30th of June. They didn't really get onto these programmatic platforms until after that. So we're going to have the results soon. People are worrying about, you know, the revenue not reflecting the value. And of course, that'll happen for a while. But I think it'll bounce strongly as soon as you get some news out after the results through. As long as they can show they don't need more cash. And everything's going hunky-dory. I think they'll rally strongly, I think. But, yeah, and I'd be happy to get in after the interims are out. You know, like I said, there's always more time to get in, you know?
Yeah. But when you're saying, like, the some, kind of reducing your exposure to some of your favourite stocks and whatever, there are a few small-cap stocks that, you know, we know we're sort of waiting on a bit of results, or we're waiting for some news, potentially. And that, if that news is good and it does come imminently, that's going to, regardless of the world situation and the market situation, that they should rally. So reducing your exposure now feels a little bit, well, it's sensible, because if those that news doesn't come, or there's a delay and it plummets, then you haven't lost. But equally, it would be annoying if it does rally and you've withdrawn it because you've been cautious, and you're missing out on some upside there. Yeah. The likes of Nuformix and Polarian, I am speaking about, I think.
Yeah, you know, Nuformix, yeah, the big elephant in the room is that the Chinese have not paid 2 million yet. And, you know, Chinese are infamous for being hard work. And, Dan said, they're going to pay, you know, the boss is over with them, chatting with them, you know. He's not doing a fast one. It's just, I've known it before with other companies. When you try and pay money out of China, it's hard work. They make it hard work. You've got to set up a subsidiary in Hong Kong or somewhere, and then Singapore, transfer it to Singapore, and it's really hard. So, and especially now, like Donald Trump is bragging every other day on Twitter that, you know, businesses are leaving China. So they don't want money outflow. They hate that, and so they try and prevent it. So it's always hard, and you have to, you know, dance through hoops and all that stuff to get money out. Hello, President Xi, look at my hoop, I'm dancing through it. Can I take some money out? And he says, Oh no.
Is that a no?
No. I tell you what I haven't had for a long time. It's a Chinese takeaway. Have you? When's the last time you had one of those?
You used to have them every weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, when my father...
Well, it's quite hard for a vegan, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not a vegan. I do eat a bit of fish. Yeah, I can't wait till the meat revolution comes in. And, you know, proper meat. I think, you know, healthy meat, not dead animals, not murdered animals. Just meat. Right. Tastes like meat, but there's no cruelty. Even the animals would love that. You know, I'm sure a lamb would eat a little lambs. Oh, look, there's little lambs in the field. You know, cut them throat off on my plate. I think,
delicious.
And people say, lovely spring, it's lambs, lambing. You cut the throat, chuck them on your plate. Lovely. Oh, how cute. Let's talk about stuff.
So where did that come from? Anyway, right. Timeless. Back to Nuformix.
So Nuformix needs to get £2 million revenue. But listen, it's £2 million. That was a low risk. Their first drug was low risk, right? NXP1. And that's why they got it's almost low payments, not a huge payments. And they got milestone payments as well, 10% of royalty payments in the licenses. But this cannabinoid deal and NXP2 dwarfs NXP1 in potential wise. So I know people are disappointed, but they will come. It's just delayed the money there.
So that's my point. I don't want to take any money out of, say, Nuformix at this stage because there's a risk there. Obviously, there's always a risk in all these little stocks. But regardless of market conditions, all the rest of it, that will rally if and when that news comes. So I don't really want to reduce my holding. But I don't know, what are your thoughts?
I reduced my holding. I did reduce it. To be honest. And what do you think of it? It's the rally on it. It went stratospheric almost, didn't it? It went up crazy. Yeah. It was like it beat Bidstack in speed of rise. And when you have something like that, you've got to realise it's got to come back. Unless you can justify that rise with some strong fundamental financial news, it's going to come back almost as aggressively. But obviously, we've had delays now. So sometimes that, I think you've got to take a bit of profit because if it's a gradual rise, it's fine. Sustainable, and it takes a longer time. Once it goes up that fast, it's not sustainable. It's absolutely, it's like a rocket on bonfire night. You go, woof, it's going to come down in someone's garden. Sooner or later.
But it's still, it's not even 10% of my portfolio. It's like about 8% or something like that.
That's all right. Yeah, what I like about the Dan and the guys have got plenty of skin in the game, so it's a good company. They've got excellent products. Like I said, 51 million pounds of milestone payments on the cannabinoid deal alone. So that's good. Bidstack, nice to get news out on that. That's a company that could do very, 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 very well. But at the moment, the momentum isn't with it. So, momentum strong, stay away. It's like fighting a tsunami. Don't bother. I see people trying to jump in all the time. Wait for a big up day and good news. The interims has passed. Always have more time. You always got more time to get into stocks.
Surely you're saying the opposite to what you said at the beginning of the podcast there. You said buy low, sell high. You're just saying there, wait until the news comes down.
But you are, to a certain extent, you've also got to wait for the sea, the tide to change a little bit, It's like when the tide's going out. So if I'm trying to surf, wait till the tide starts coming in, and realise, it's like saying, Steve, this is a cracking beach for surfing on, but the tide's going out, and say, obviously, and you're just trying to convince yourself it's good. So no, wait till the tide comes in. That's not a good beach, is it? Yes, it is a good beach. Just got to wait a little bit, that's all. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah, sort of.
It's just the timing, it's all. It'll come round. But it is comparatively low, isn't it, compared to where it was?
That's the thing, it's the comparative
low. It's a relative low, isn't it? That's it, yes.
Relative low, there we are. Yes, in terms of actually, even on an up day, this is still low compared to where it could be,
Argo Mining, Stephen, I think you should have a bit of that. It's a hedge. I like the guys. I've checked the Mike, right, the CEO of Argo Blockchain Mining. And they are going to be the biggest and most efficient blockchain miner in the world. And Bitcoin, I do believe, will be a hedge against a sell-off. Like I said, we're having, interest rates in America is going down. In this country, they're very low. Printing money in Europe and interest rates are going down. Everything is inflationary. Every fiat currency, every normal currency central banks produce, they print money, is inflationary. Bitcoin is not. It's anti-inflationary. It'll hold its value. Like gold, it's digital gold. And I just think, the company, within 12 months, they've already made a net profit, a maiden profit, of being listed, right? It's only just shy of £1 million. And that was when the Bitcoin price was, most of that time, 6 months, the Bitcoin price for, I think, about four months of that, it was below $8,000, now above $10,000. They've got twice as many machines, and they're more efficient machines. I just genuinely think this company, if this Bitcoin price stabilizes and goes higher, this company could generate, I don't know, between, I think, anything, 5-6 million, post-tax profit, on a valuation of 10 even, which it should be on more than that, and that's 50 million market cap, so double where we are, at least, and that's without, and not only that, they're doubling their mining capacity over the next year, before the end of the year. So even if on these amount of mines, machines they have now, which is 6,000, they could do about 5 million in profit, post-tax, I think. So double that. So this is it could be 100 million market cap. I quite like it a lot. The most efficient mine around. Way, I think, undervalued. Well, 50 million market cap, 5 million cash, generating cash. Emotion, waiting for news from those, interim results. Safe stay.
Yeah,
they came on the podcast. Sellers, there's a Mitan, right? Mitan Group. They're selling everything. They're selling a lot. There's Mitan are a small cap institutional investor. And I don't know what's going on there. They're not in trouble. I think they're quite bearish. They're just selling everything, seems, And when you get a big company like that selling stock and it's very illiquid, the company's in it, it's just, downward pressure all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard work. I'm trying to find an analogy there. What's something that they're pushing down your head, It's like, it's like having a bunk bed that's been designed to...
What what?
Maybe not enough room above you. You know, it's like having a room just crushing you. You know, just coming down all the time, and then all of a sudden, some days, you know, the person pushing the button to bring the ceiling down is not there, and you push it back up or something, and then some days not, and then all of a sudden you realise the person who's been doing that to the ceiling, been crushing you, dies, and then. Then someone else comes in and discovers, why is it crushing this person? Give him a bit of room.
You know, yeah. So all of a sudden release the pressure.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good bit. Is it a spring? A coiled spring. That's what it is.
Coiled spring.
Yeah.
And surfing.
Open all fun. Yeah, safe stay. Yeah, like, so I think, you know, it'll do very well. Again, results coming out very soon, hopefully. So they've acquired their 15th hostel. In Glasgow.
The price wasn't really affected by that news at all, was it?
Oh, I don't know. I know it was Brexit. I knew that. I was absolutely blank though. We were fitting all the bed beds. The two of them. I turned over like 3.1 million. Freehold. I see about $1 million top line revenue added every hostel they buy, pretty much. And now they're profitable. And they can, they're generating cash and they can. And I don't think SafeStay will jump up crazily in one day, but I genuinely think it'll be one of these things, Steve, that you can hold for like 5 years, and it'll be five times more valuable. It'll be sustainable, you know, five times more valuable in about 3-5 years' time than it will be now. We have 5-6 bagger, five, six bagger quite easily, and it's a proper business. None of these trade stuff. You jump in, jump out, 10%, 20%. It's a proper business, you know. Cash going through the tills.
Yeah, start paying a dividend at some point as well,
start
maybe.
Start paying a divvy, yes. All that stuff. Anything else? Plarian, good news coming out. Again, you know, Plarian got a massive seller in there. AMP is their biggest shareholder. Yeah. They're also in financial trouble. They have to sell the shares. I mean, people say, why are they selling? Because they have to. Their loan is due, Amphibian's loan is due to be paid end of September. Ironically, that's when the enrolment is supposed to be happening, completion of enrolment for Plarian. But they say they don't want to sell too many shares because obviously the more the share price goes up, the less shares they have to sell. And they do say in the statements, we completely believe in Plarian's technology, but we have to satisfy this loan, otherwise we just basically go through. They're suspended because they're so tight of cash. They have any cash. All they have is shares in Plarian.
Yeah.
So if they didn't think it was any good, they'd sell them straight away, wouldn't they? Just clear off. They got about $4.4 million worth of shares, and they got about $2.3 million of debt. So if they didn't think they were any good, they'd just sell them straight away. But they don't want to sell them straight away, you know? Full stop. Yeah.
Going back in your thing that you were talking about in terms of funds earlier, because I used to, back in the day, have a tracker fund on the S&P 500, haven't had for a while, and I think I said the other week, I'm thinking of getting back into, I'd like to have a passive tracker in the portfolio, but like you say, it's an all-time high, S&P 500, FTSE 100, who knows where that's going. So I'm sort of holding back from
hold back now. Listen, what you need to do though, life strategy fund is something different. It's a bit more spread out. And like I say, you've got to really, I've got a direct debit, and I put a little bit into that every quarter. That's your retirement fund. Don't touch that. Leave the money in there. Let it grow.
That's yours to keep.
You can take that with you. But listen, don't touch that at all, okay? Leave it in there. Dribble it in. I direct debit every month. Put a little dribble in every quarter, a little dribble every quarter. And then when you retire, take all your dribbles out, and you've got a big pool. Slobber. A big pool of slobber there. It'll serve you nicely for your retirement.
Are you dribbling evenly into UKID and Vanguard?
No, I'm not. UKID, dividend paying fund, I'm in and out that. I got about 20% of my portfolio in that now.
So you're not doing UKID on a
I will ramp that up towards dividend again. I'll pay more into that again and reinvest the dividends again.
So you ram hard into that and withdraw, but you dribble into the other one.
Or dribble into the Life Strategy Fund, Vanguard, right. and then I ramp up hard into the IUKD. Ramp it up, dividend, ish, rack out the dividend, and then dribble it into the Vanguard.
Interesting, good strategy. Does the Vanguard mind that, or is that
They love that, the Vanguard.
They love that.
You can set that up with me at Barclays Online. You can set up a monthly payment or quarterly. I put a quarterly, not a lot in. The Vanguard at the moment, this is the way it is. The Vanguard at the moment only takes up about 4% of my portfolio, okay? But hopefully in 20 years' time, it'll be up to like, you know, Because I'm just dribbling it in. That big dribble will get bigger and bigger, and then it'll be up to like 50%, and it'll be worth, you know, that 50%. Hopefully, I'll have about 50%, you know, profit on that. It's a big chunk, you know. So, but it's a steady builder. Steve, that's your retirement fund. That is a, you can mess around with stocks in the background, but that's a your safety thing. IUKD, okay, dividend, and the life strategy. Those two there should be the backbone and the muscles of your portfolio. Not the backbone. There's the backbone and the rib cage of your portfolio, and your arms and legs and all that. We flail about a little bit. They, you know, the other stocks or shares, but those two, you know, should be your rib cage and your backbone. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good advice there. Have you ever thought about being an independent financial advisor?
Can you imagine that going around someone's house and giving them advice? So, you know, what you need to do is dribble it in, all right, with the dividend, ramp it up, ramp it in, rack it out, during dividend phase. But with the
we're on beach with no surf, and then we get what?
But with the other one, just dribble it in every quarter, just dribble, all right? Yeah, okay. The Vanguard likes that.
Yes.
So if you want any information on those two funds, by the way, I just did a video on YouTube, just how to make investing on stock market easy with funds or something. I entitled it as. But yeah, so it's very true. I mean, those should be, Steve, you know, in the end, in a couple of years' time, you should be having, you know, they should take about 50% of your portfolio, and the other 50% you can mess around with, but they are slowly building. So, you know, you'll always be building those. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Right, I better go. I want to see the last few minutes of.
And good luck for Wales in the World Cup there.
Oh, yeah, we're playing Georgia, aren't we?
On Monday, yeah, we're playing Tonga.
Is that a lady, Georgia? Is that just one lady we're playing?
Yeah, just one girl.
Imagine that. She's just coming out like that. She's Georgia. She's a big lady, big hairy lady from Russia. But yeah, and who are you playing, Pete?
Tonga.
Oh, the Tonga. The Conga. Tonga should have that. Let's be honest. New Zealand. New Zealand is the hacker. The other teams don't bother, okay? Yeah. Tonga, you can do the Conga. Here comes Tonga with the Conga. That'd be a good one.
Some royalties.
Yeah. Have a nice weekend, fellas. All right. Don't forget, dribble it in and ramp it up with a dividend fund.
Okay, thanks.
I'll do.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.